This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hour three of the Chris and Amy show, and it's time to go to the guest line this morning. We always do it just about this time on Mondays. White House correspondent for The Bulwark, Andrew Egger, who also is the co-author of the Morning Shots newsletter. You can sign up for it there at The Bulwark. Andrew Egger is with us on KMOX. Good to talk to you, Andrew. How you doing?
Long time to stay on the radio, and yeah, you guys have my respect for this.
Right? 3 hours is a hell of a long time. And
used
don't forget.
To be four. Used to be four.
Well, I'm still doing four.
That's right. And I'll do part of it. We do sports for the fourth hour.
Yeah.
Andrew.
That's a little more fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot more
fun. Unless you're the Blues.
Now, yeah.
So the, unless you're the Blues.
Our hockey team's on a 7-game losing streak, Andrew. So it's going from one calamity to the next around these parts.
Yeah. I went to the Commanders game last night and saw Daniel's arm go the wrong direction. So that was not good vibes. Not good vibes anywhere, it seems like.
I advised everybody here to not look at the injury if they didn't already see it. I would tell you not to go look at it because it's not great. It's kind of gross. So, Andrew, the shutdown continues. Last week we had heard that there was maybe some negotiating that was going on and the possibility of it coming to an end, but I guess not.
Yeah, I mean, we have gotten basically what are like the first green shoots of negotiating. There are Democrats talking to Republicans and vice versa at kind of like low member-to-member levels. The bottom line right now is that it seems pretty much guaranteed that we will not see any movement at this point before, you know, it becomes the longest shutdown in American history, which is scheduled to happen Thursday. Even if they were to get up, you know, this morning and say, hey, we've actually, against all odds, hit on a deal, that would still now need to go back to the House and, you know, be re-ratified, and it would take a little bit of time, even if there were to be some sort of breakthrough. The other kind of thing that everyone is sort of keeping one eye on right now is the fact that we have out-of-cycle elections tomorrow in a few states, which are going to be kind of a barometer of, I mean, not a perfect barometer by any means, but it's sort of a barometer of where public sentiment is on some of this stuff. You know, if Democrats way overperform in those elections, maybe they feel like they have a stronger hand to stick out for some further concessions, and vice versa. You know, if Democrats do worse than they expect, maybe they read that as, okay, well, maybe it's time to kind of close up shop here and just let the government get reopened. But again, you know, there haven't been any sort of big swings in terms of anybody's particular political calculus about this. So yeah, for now, as crazy as it seems, you know, 6 weeks in, we are largely where we were sort of at the beginning of this as far as the negotiations are concerned.
Andrew, speaking of those elections, are there any in particular that people are watching from Washington as a barometer? Because I can't tell if the New York mayoral race with Zoran Mamdani and Cuomo, like, is that actually a real barometer, or is that just such a weird election that it won't necessarily reflect the views across the country?
That's a barometer of some things, like some different things, right? I mean, the big question there is just sort of like, how do New Yorkers like their Democrats, right? I mean, the Democrat has been likely to win this election forever. You know, Cuomo kind of fell down in the primary and did not do a good job running against Mamdani, who upset him there. And then now with Cuomo running as an independent again, the question is sort of like, all right, now everybody's got their sort of like got their heads in the game. They've dropped the Oppo files on Mamdani. They've gotten all his kind of, you know, more unsavory things that he said over the years, sort of out in front of the public eye, and it's almost a rematch, right? It's sort of like moderate, somewhat disgraced former governor Andrew Cuomo versus, you know, this Democratic Socialist of America guy. So that is kind of its own sort of that will say certain things about, you know, the intra Democratic Party dynamics. The more interesting ones, as far as the sort of the national barometer is concerned, are these out of cycle governor races in Virginia, where I live, which always has done this. It's always been sort of a weird way of doing it. 1 year after the presidential, so it's kind of a canary in the coal mine thing. When Glenn Youngkin won 4 years ago, that was seen as like, you know, wow, Republicans are doing much stronger than expected necessarily, and right in the wake of Joe Biden taking office there and things like that. And then there's another one in New Jersey. Both of these have relatively moderate Democratic candidates running. Obviously, they ought to win in New Jersey. They almost always do. Virginia has a Republican governor now, but obviously Northern Virginia has a ton of, you know, federal workers and defense contractors and you know, people who might pejoratively be known as deep staters, who have been very, you know, up in arms about some of the DOGE cuts and all those sorts of things. So it's sort of a litmus test, the Virginia race in particular, for like how much ground Republicans have lost among some of the kind of like professional class Republicans over the last year or so. But you know, it's sort of remains to be seen. Spanberger, the Democrat, is expected to win, but anything can happen.
We are, and speaking of all of that, we are at the point where it's just about a year away from the election, from the midterms, and, you know, whether or not the control of Congress is going to switch hands back to the Democratic Party. That's up in the air right now. And there is new polling that shows Democrats do have a slight edge, something like 6 points at the moment in terms of favorability, or in terms of who people want to control Congress. The president right now is at 37% approval rating, which is the lowest he has seen in both of the terms. So as you look at the political landscape, knowing there's a year to go before that election, how do you see it and how predictable do you think it is?
How predictable is it is the correct question, because the answer is not at all. Not at all. I mean, like, there's so much stuff that is going to shake out between now and then, just in terms of, for one thing, the congressional map. You have all of these states in both Republican and Democrat run states who are kind of in this arms race to gerrymander themselves more and redistrict harder, which is, you know, so we don't even really know what the congressional districts are necessarily going to look like ahead of the midterms. On top of that, the Supreme Court is likely to hear a case that's a challenge to the last remaining existing portions of the 60s Voting Rights Act that could free up a whole bunch more redistricting, depending on how they rule on that. You know, that could lead to another wave of sort of like Republican-led gerrymandering across the South. So that would be another big, you know, another big thing for Republicans there. And the other thing, and this is again the Supreme Court, is there likely to, over the next month or two, rule on whether Donald Trump has the right to issue all of these tariffs that he has been issuing all over the place, which have been providing a humongous amount of drag on the economy. But if they were to sort of take that out of Donald Trump's hands and you know, say, actually, a lot of these tariffs you put into place, not only can you not actually do that, but you actually have to give a lot of this tariff revenue that you have collected back to the businesses who paid it, you could see like a major, major shift in sort of the economic narrative that we have right now, with a lot of like economic warning signs and lights flashing on the dashboard and you know, storm clouds in the sky, whatever metaphor you want. So like, depending on how any of those things swing, we're going to be looking at a very different congressional picture, you know, a year from now. Setting aside all of the million other controversies and different, you know, like big policy swings the White House is taking and how the public will bounce on any of those. But yeah, I mean, you are right. Democrats have some reasons to be cheerful about some of that generic ballot polling that you're talking about. That's any good news is good news for Democrats, with how badly they have been polling their party brand and just sort of across the board this year. But yeah, a lot of football left to play there.
In terms of Democratic polling, one of the arguments I have heard a lot is that, well, one of the reasons the brand is so low and they're not polling well, the Democrats generally, is because Democrats aren't happy with them. They're not happy that they're not fighting hard enough against this current administration. So how much of that is true?
Definitely a big part of it. I mean, if you are a Democrat right now, you blame, you know, Republicans for a lot of the stuff that's happening, but you also blame your own party leaders for kind of, you know, falling on their faces last year and letting Republicans sweep back into power in both chambers of Congress and obviously in the presidency. And so that is yet another sort of like complicating factor, because even though it is plain that exists, that is in the data there, it's very hard to tease out how much of it is in the data there. And it's also very hard to use that data to predict like future voter behavior, right? Because in theory, a person who is really mad at their own party might still be an extremely reliable voter. You know, when next November, when it comes time, they'll grumble their way into the polling place and they'll pull the lever for maybe a different Democrat or maybe the same Democrat again, but they're still, you know, going to come out and vote against a Republican. That's one kind of like committed partisan Democratic voter. But you could also imagine a person for whom they might sort of swear off the enterprise, right? Like they're like, what's the point of continuing to elect these people back to Congress or whatever? It's not like they're providing much of a check while they're in there anyway. I'm not saying that's like a rational way of thinking, but I'm just saying it is one possible way of looking at this data. And I think a lot of Democrats are sort of on tenterhooks to figure out over the next year or so which of those types of voter more accurately describes their coalition here.
Hey, Andrew, I know there's always so many headlines here that news coming out of Africa generally doesn't make the headlines. We remember 2014 Boko Haram's infamous kidnapping of 276 Christian schoolgirls, and many were forced to convert to Islam. And in Nigeria, there's a militant Islamic extremists are waging war against Christians, 52,000 or over 50,000 Christians killed in that country in the past handful of years. And I bring this up as the background because it generally doesn't make the news, but President Trump has said that the U.S. could go into Nigeria, quote, guns a-blazing, and also aid assistance to the country if it continues allowing the killing of Christians. Obviously, a lot of geopolitical implications here. What do we know about what the president said and how that's being received?
Yeah, so there's basically two tracks for this story, right? There's one story that's been going on for a few months already, or even a few years already. Nigeria has gone off of the list that the U.S. government maintains of countries that are committing basically religious freedom abuses under a piece of landmark legislation that was signed by Bill Clinton back in the 90s. That's basically just like the register of religious freedom offenders, right? Mm-hmm. And they're not currently on there. They were on there in the first Trump term. They're not currently on there. There are senators, Republican senators, who have been lobbying the Trump administration to put them back on that list. So that's kind of how this sort of came to Trump's attention, is that, you know, the administration has been getting these letters basically saying Nigeria has been site to these sorts of atrocities, these sorts of abuses, and we ought to like take this policy stance as a result of that. And in Trump's tweet, he delivers that first. He says we're gonna designate Nigeria this country of concern under this law, but that's not all. And then he goes on and he says the stuff that you're talking about, where if the government does not get serious about stopping this stuff, not only will the U.S. sort of cut off aid to Nigeria, what remaining aid is still going there after, you know, the cuts to USAID and all those sorts of things that happened earlier this year, but we would also sort of contemplate military action. And this is always the thing with Trump, right? It's like, to what extent is this a negotiating threat, and to what extent is this like an active threat, right? And I think like he, as a negotiator, likes to keep that vague, right? I mean, he wants the government of Nigeria not only to be like, oh, look, I guess the U.S. is putting us on that list again. That's another thing we're going to need to worry about and think about. He wants them to be like, oh, wait, is the United States actually going to actively come and make a real big problem for us if we do not address this more aggressively? So that's like, you know, again, we will see in sort of the days and weeks ahead what actual concrete steps the United States takes here. But this is pretty classic. classic Donald Trump to open things up with a big punch in terms of negotiating right off the bat.
Andrew Egger, we always appreciate your time. As we say goodbye here, there is a texter who asks a pretty good question, and that is, if Washington is shut down right now, how come they haven't shut down the Commanders?
This is a really good question, and it is a question that I think was on a lot of Commanders fans' lips leaving that particular game last night. It was really not a very good showing at all.
No, not good. Andrew Egger, we appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys.
And we talk to Andrew every Monday just after 11 o'clock. He's the White House correspondent for The Bulwark and co-author of the Morning Shots newsletter for The Bulwark, and Andrew A. St. Louisan. Good to talk to him, as always. The Gas House Gang is coming up at 12 o'clock. It'll be Tom Ackerman and me. Amy's going to join the show. We're going to talk a little hockey during that show, because the Blues are, well, we always talk to her on Mondays. And then Bob Ramsey will be with us.
And?
Is this happening?
It's happening.
Mason Wynn joins the show at 12:30. The Gold Glover.
Hot dog, are you serious?
The Gold Glover Mason Wynn will be on the show at 12:30 today. How about that? Gas House Gang at noon on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I just asked Andrew Egger about the Truth post from Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, about Nigeria and what's going on. And it really is awful. Two of the biggest humanitarian crises in the world right now happening in Nigeria and Sudan. I mentioned over 50,000 Christians have been murdered in Nigeria in the past 10 years or so. 19,000 churches have been destroyed. The Nigeria story, that is the Boko Haram story that we remember from 2014, 2015, when 276 girls were kidnapped, abducted, which it did get some, because of the atrocity of it, some global attention. But a couple things here. Ranj, one, I think it's easy to forget how big Nigeria is. It's the sixth most populous country in the world. 237 million people. That's easy to forget. Also in the news, Sudan, the Yale confirmed that there are mass murders, massacres of civilians by militant Islamists who are killing all of the non-Arab communities. So they're going after non-Arab communities and killing them. And Yale confirmed that you could see some of the slaughter, the bloodstains on the dry sand in Sudan from space. Because it seemed like a story that couldn't possibly be true, but they did confirm that you're seeing these giant stains over the sand in Sudan. And Sudan is determined the single greatest humanitarian crisis. There's a famine where 25 million people are starving and food insecure. Since 2023, 150,000 people killed, 14 million displaced. Just a couple of days ago, I hate to say this because it is so awful, but Islamic militants were hanging children and videoing it. I mean, it's out there. The videos are out there. And I wonder, how this has been going on now for years. Why have we not seen this? And Van Jones, a couple of weeks ago, really a few weeks ago, brought up the same topic. Van Jones of CNN.
Including the fact that Africa right now is being overrun by Islamist terrorists, including Boko Haram, with no conversation about that at all.
I did it last week.
Exactly. Nigeria. Yeah, Nigeria.
I mean, this is an actual planned genocide.
Yes.
I mean, they really want to kill all the Christians in that country, and they are systematically doing it.
And the fact that there's almost no response from the global left and no attention from mainstream media is a crime against African people, black people, and human rights. I agree with that 100%. It turns out that there's a double standard for Jews. That is true. No Jews, no news. As long as you can put the Jewish state in the conversation, it's going to be a big conversation. If you can't, you get no attention at all. This is a big problem.
And he brought that up because it was in the middle of the conversation about Gaza and all of the protests that we're seeing on college campuses and on the streets and Greta Thunberg and the United Nations. But did you know the United Nations didn't make a statement about the Sudan? Never mentioned about what was going on in Sudan. Neither did Greta Thunberg. And at some point, you have to say, well, wait a minute. This is the world's largest humanitarian crisis. 25 million people. You see the videos and the pictures coming out of Sudan. The Atlantic, just a gutting article the Atlantic did with several of their reporters, writers, went to Sudan and just documented what they saw. And it's so difficult to read. And again, Van Jones brought up the saying, if it's not the Jews, it's not the news, because we haven't heard about it. But the UN has condemned Israel. 50% of their condemnations were against Israel, but nothing about this. It really does show a double standard. More people need to be talking about what's going on in Sudan and Nigeria, where there are real genocides, and the documentation is rampant. When you have a famine of this size, the documentation will be rampant, and it is.
I would agree that there needs to be more attention paid to what's going on there. If you're wondering why we tend to pay more attention to what's happening in Gaza, it is because of our close relationship with Israel and the fact that there are, and Israel does not equal Jewish people, because just because you're Jewish here in this country does not mean that you're Israeli, but there are 7.5 million Jewish people in the United States. So naturally, there's just going to be more interest paid to anything Israel does. And so what's happening in Gaza is on everybody's mind, and because we fund their military in such a big way.
But
that's,
again,
that's why there's so much attention paid to it.
But it's also crazy that the New York Times is like, we want to run a story about a famine or genocide, which there was no starvation campaign. The UN, what was happening in Gaza did not qualify as a genocide. They had to change the definition because it doesn't qualify. And they couldn't find documentation of it, so they used a picture of a kid who had a pre-existing condition, who, by the way, got treatment in Israel, and they cropped out his well-fed brother and said, this is proof of famine. It was, to me, it is journalistic malpractice to focus so heavily on that, to the point where, because you want to write a famine story, you have to use a picture that had been debunked. So I think there's that side of it, but also...
But I think we're focusing just too much on that one thing, because there are plenty of images and videos that we have all seen.
Not
you don't
a
have
famine.
To focus
I didn't
on
see
that.
Starving, like, well, adults.
I mean, it's a bad situation.
It was a bad situation.
In Gaza?
And that's
really
yes, bad.
Bad.
And that's why we need to be careful with our language, because this is a real genocide. And I do want to point this out, because we talk about state sponsors of terrorism like Iran, like Qatar, and President Trump accepted this plane from Qatar. Now, remember Trump in 2017... said Qatar must stop. Qatar must stop funding global terrorism. Qatar is terrible. Now he's president. Qatar is our great friend and ally, our partner in peace. We're going to take this awesome plane from them. Where do you think Boko Haram and other Islamic militant terrorist groups are getting their funding? Countries like Qatar and Iran. So, yes, the United States, Donald Trump, maybe you shouldn't just be all cozy with Qatar while trying to speak a strong game against Nigeria. I'm really glad you are bringing attention to this, that, you know, Trump has said this is terrible, this genocide. But also, he can't accept that plane from Qatar. They're helping to fund it.
It's a Chris and Amy show on 104.1 FM KMOX with you until 12 o'clock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Now, you know that I'm pretty anti-chat GPT, anti-AI. Not a fan. I've got my college-ruled notebook, pen, pencil, mechanical pencil. I'm a fan of it all. However, I was talking with some friends the other day. Here's where I think chat GPT... is actually really, really good. And I know we've talked about this before, so you may think, well, yeah, this is why everybody uses it, Amy. Welcome to the party. You're late. And I am. But I'm not good with corporate America. It's not how my brain works. I don't like CYAs. I don't like busy work. I don't like having to fill out forms and go through certain processes. It just seems like a giant waste of time. My friends who are stuck in the corporate America busy work have used ChatGPT to condense like 50 hours of work that would be summarizing or building decks or saying, here's what we've done over this whole week. Can you give us a review? Using ChatGPT and getting 40, 50 hours done in like an hour and a half, it's kind of like sticking it to the man. If the man's going to make you do all this busy work and say, this is such a waste of time, why do you need all this? Why do you need a deck? We just had a meeting about it. I'm kind of pro ChatGPT for cutting down on the busy work.
Well, as long as we can figure out a way that people can still be employed, use ChatGPT to cut out the busy work, but their own jobs are still necessary, then great. Because what concerns me is, companies throughout time have been trying to find ways to make it cheaper to operate, which I get. I mean, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. You want to operate as inexpensively as possible. However, if we get to a point where we have too many industries, too many businesses that have found a way to completely eliminate human workforce, then we're going to be in some trouble. Mm-hmm. And yes, we've always adapted as the years have gone by. The problem with ChatGPT and artificial intelligence is that it is happening so quickly. I don't know that industries will be able to adjust, or that the workforce of the country, the world really, will be able to adjust quickly enough to say, okay, well, this whole industry of people, of workers that we used to have, is no longer necessary. So now we have to replace that with something different. I don't think that we're going to be able to do that fast enough.
Yeah, no.
And you're going to have so many people out of work over the next 5 to 10 years. And I don't know how we're going to find anything for them to do and make money.
Listen, if I could push a button, get rid of AI and ChatGPT and Claude, I would. I have no use for it. I don't want Gemini. I don't want it. I'm backwards. I'm a Luddite. I get it. But I like, I think for the creative process, I also think for expanding knowledge, the ability to reason, whether it's deductive reasoning or logic, whatever it may be, and truly understand a subject, you've got to work through it and wrestle it through it with a book, with a notepad, with a pencil. We know the hand-brain connection is a big deal. If we've got it, get rid of the busy work, but don't get rid of the creativity. And it's really interesting. I was listening to a podcast from someone with the Washington Post, and they said one thing that AI has not been able to do is replicate humor and nuance and observational humor.
Right.
It can't do it. It hasn't yet. Nothing that AI has created is the nuanced observational humor of an irony or sarcasm of a Norm MacDonald or a Jerry Seinfeld or, Nate Bargatze. Name your comedian. It can't do it. And I like that that's so far uniquely human. It also has struggled with creative writing in the sense of it can pass all the AP tests except for the English test. So,
and it may never get there.
And I hope not. But I guess I've been poo-pooing AI and ChatGPT so much because I can't stand it. I don't have it. I've never used ChatGPT that I thought I should at least acknowledge for people who are, if you're at a big business in marketing and you've got to waste 30 hours doing a review or making a deck,
right.
Go ahead and use it.
So speaking of artificial intelligence, are you on LinkedIn?
No. I think someone signed me up for LinkedIn in 2012. It's a long story.
Okay, so you're not on it.
But I don't even know how to log in.
All right.
No.
Pajeski?
But my name's there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you use it.
I got to make sure all those potential employers are looking at me.
That's right.
What? And so you get stolen away.
What?
I don't blame him.
Why would you not want to work here?
Well, the air conditioning doesn't work, for one. Or the heat is on full blast.
The heat has been stuck on for 2 weeks. It's 90
degrees.
Yeah, what
is going on? It's really, anyway.
We'll get to it later.
So Microsoft owned LinkedIn. LinkedIn is owned by Microsoft, if you didn't know that.
Okay.
They have, starting today, they are going to be collecting user data to train their artificial intelligence models. So again, that is starting today. So
what?
Yeah. So the AI like ChatGPT and Gemini, they're basically in a lot of ways, it's not glorified Google, but it kind of is. Mm-hmm. What they learn is what they can scour the internet to learn. That's how these models exist in the first place. So another area where they are going to be able to access is your LinkedIn account. The data is going to be shared with Microsoft and affiliate companies to improve targeted advertising as well. But they will not be able to have access to your private messages, in case you were wondering about that. So LinkedIn is like the networking website. You know, the professional networking website, that is it. So they're going to use member data, including profile details and public posts, to enhance their AI-powered features on the platform. So, you know, it's because artificial intelligence and these like ChatGPTs and systems like that did not have access to everything. They don't have access to like private stuff or your private accounts.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got something public, it can see that. But it, now, at least in this way, if you are on LinkedIn, there's going to be more access to it granted. So,
all right.
I mean, it's a thing to keep in mind, and that's going to continue to happen, stuff like this.
Would you like to do a hard left turn here?
I don't care.
Would you shoot a monkey if you had to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Couldn't wait.
Well, Raj.
I'll tell you what. Harambe'd be first in line.
He's already been shot.
Oh.
That's why he's famous.
Also, not a monkey.
That's right. So, it's not a funny story. It's just there were the monkeys that were the makeup.
And by the way, I am kidding. I don't really want to shoot monkeys.
He doesn't want to kill a monkey. No. Okay. Except for the one in Outbreak.
That's the one that started the whole thing.
That's a bad monkey. But anyway, speaking of that, do you remember when the truck of monkeys fell over?
Yeah, last week I told you about it.
The monkey truck, it fell over and all the monkeys escaped in Mississippi. So this mom actually shot one of the monkeys and she said, I did what any other mother would do and I am 105% on her side. So they were aggressive monkeys that escaped from an overturned truck. And in fact, word spread that some of the monkeys were believed to be carrying dangerous diseases.
Right.
Which is scary.
So it was not true. They did not have hepatitis C,
no.
HIV, COVID. They
right.
did not have.
They did not have any of that. But that's pretty terrifying.
Right.
And so her son was playing outside, or was outside, 16-year-old son, ran into the house and said, Mom, I just saw one of the monkeys. So the 35-year-old mom, whose children range in age from 4 to 16, said she like got out of bed, she grabbed her gun and her phone and went outside, calling the police while she goes outside. And the monkey was about 60 feet from her house. She saw the monkey. She shot the monkey. The monkey like stood there and looked at her. So she shot him again, and then he fell over. And she said, I did what any mother would do, because she said, here's the thing. We live in, you know, a neighborhood. There are neighbor kids. Mm-hmm. This monkey, and monkeys are very aggressive. I mean, and the whole community had been on high alert with how dangerous these monkeys are.
Yeah.
She said, yes, my kids were inside, but what if I didn't say anything or do anything? And then that monkey attacked a neighbor child. She goes, I could never live with that. I did what any mother would do. And she
shot
said,
the monkey.
And shot the monkey.
Which, by the way, is my favorite Peter Gabriel song.
Shoot the monkey.
Shock the monkey.
Oh, yeah. Shock the monkey.
No, it's it
the
should
monkey,
be shot.
The monkey probably was shocked. I've been shot.
You shot me.
But the monkey was shocked. And it's not funny. I get it. But listen, everything is sad and everything is difficult. We get it. It's always 1% fun when there's monkeys involved. Probably.
Love the monkeys.
But it's not. It's sad.
Shot the monkey.
But I'm on the mom's side. The mom did the right thing, because that monkey could have attacked another kid, a toddler, playing outside.
But it wasn't going to attack.
Yeah, the alert from the sheriff's office said they could attack.
Well, I mean, they could if you corner the monkey.
But a little kid wouldn't know. A little kid would go, oh, a monkey.
That's why you, look, parents, your kids, tell them to stay away from the monkeys.
So the monkey came. They were rhesus monkeys at Tulane University.
And now that poor monkey is in pieces. because he's been shot. I am so sorry. Is the story over?
How do you live with yourself?
I don't know. I don't feel good about it.
But you did it anyway?
What?
The Reese's Pieces monkey?
I am.
We found pieces of the Reese's monkey. That's what the cops said. Well, anyway, they were from the National Biomedical Research Center in New Orleans. And I will say this, that's scary. Because they could have, that's why they thought they might have had diseases.
Yep. You do not want to, look, escaped monkeys, bad. Very, very bad. And
there's a
stay
picture
away from the
monkeys. Of the authority dragging the monkey away, and he's holding him by his toes. He's upside down.
What? That's how they got him.
His
how they...
arms and head are dragging on the ground, and the guy is holding, you know, the authority is holding the monkey by his feet.
Well, that's not him. You're not supposed to do that. Cover it up.
16 pounds. You want him to put him in a body bag?
Yeah, put the monkey in a body bag. Don't just walk around with it like that. Would you like that to happen to your body, just being dragged around in public? You don't want that.
Well, you got to put him in a bag. But they were known to be aggressive. The monkeys were aggressive.
Just stay away from the monkeys.
Anyway, I think the mom, it must have been hard, difficult decision for the mom, but she did what any mom would do, and I'm on her side. You have to protect the kids.
Must protect the children.
You know what? You've ruined everything.
I didn't do anything. I didn't kill the monkey. I did not shoot the monkey. Leave that poor monkey alone. Those monkeys didn't do anything wrong.
Well, they were probably shocked.
They were definitely shocked. So the one was shocked to have been shot.
Yeah.
Texters into 314-436-7900. Definitely shoot the AIDS monkey. That's what this is. Well, they weren't AIDS monkeys. They didn't have AIDS or hepatitis C or COVID. They were fine. They just might have been a little aggressive. This message says, neither did you shoot the sheriff. No, we did not.
Oh, my
gosh,
no. In
fact, I have done nothing but defend our sheriff.
He's done nothing but defend the sheriff.
Yes, so thank you. This message from
And do not shoot the deputy. That's the second part.
Right.
You don't want to do either.
Well, no, you shot the sheriff, but not the deputy. That's the song.
Who sings that song?
Bob Marley. Ziggy Marley's dad. So, from a 636, it says, I'm with that mom. I have three kids. Let a monkey get crazy around my kids. I'll drop kick a monkey.
Yeah, that's so true. That's a mom, though. Your mom's got to protect the kids. Because let me tell you what. If a monkey mom had three little baby monkeys and some human tried to hurt her baby monkeys, she'd drop kick the human person.
I need you to look up this part for me, Amy, because I don't know.
Okay.
From a 636, somebody said the monkey's name was Spanky. Please tell me that's not true. Look it up.
Like the also, Little Rascals? Isn't that his name?
Yes. Also, Harambe texted in and said, what the hell? I think it's because I said I would start with Harambe if we were shooting monkeys. But I would not do that because I liked Harambe. I feel bad for him and his family.
I don't think I'm going to Google this. Weird stuff is coming up.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, Amy, don't really Google it.
Too late.
No. Do not Google Spanky the monkey, did you?
I did.
Oh my God, Amy. Amy, no. It wasn't on a work computer, was it?
You didn't tell me it was bad.
No.
I thought, what's the other? Coco the monkey.
Coco the monkey is a different.
And Harambe, I didn't know.
Oh.
I didn't. Why? You know what? These
Amy.
Texters can just get
this
bent.
This is why you don't have access any longer because you just.
Get bent.
Wow.
Unbelievable. This is not the type of community effort we're looking for.
Yeah. Message says, I'm with you. I can't hurt any animal, but call authorities and let them handle it. That's just my opinion. And that is the right thing to do.
But
you don't shoot the monkey.
No, but she was afraid that because by the time the authorities got there, there were other kids outside. You can't risk that. You can't risk little toddlers.
So we're just firing into the crowd?
We got
weapons?
It was one monkey.
Yeah, but their kids are nearby.
That they believed had diseases at the time.
Was she a sharpshooter?
Yeah, she got him twice. Two bullets, one monkey.
There were kids nearby, and she's shooting at the monkey? Well.
I don't know. Is this Beavis and... John said, I've never watched a Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, John is watching on Facebook.
I don't understand. What does that mean?
Yeah, do not... Okay.
It means you guys are really smart people.
Yes, that's what that means. Beavis and Butthead, great show. And Amy has never seen it.
Never seen it. All the right. Most Beavis and Butthead I've seen is just t-shirts that Kevin Wheeler wears.
He does have a Beavis and Butthead t-shirt. At least one.
At least one. I think he has multiple.
I think he does too. Is he 55?
He is. He also has, if he's not wearing Beavis and Butthead t-shirts, he's wearing Star Wars t-shirts.
Yes, he is. He's pretty cute, Kevin. Kevin's like a...
He's getting less cute though. He's pretty puffy now.
My God, Kevin Wheeler. We need to stop
roided up.
With the protein shakes. enough with the protein shakes.
He's the only American that needs less protein.
Oh, my God. We got to do something about him. He doesn't have a neck anymore. It's just shoulders straightened ahead.
He's swole.
He is over-swole. Somebody needs to deflate him a little bit. Hey, let's do this tomorrow. If we haven't been fired yet, we'll do it tomorrow. 9 o'clock, Chris and Amy show is back. Anything you missed, like the podcast of the show, it's on the Odyssey app, iHeart app, or wherever you get your podcasts. What, Amy? Did we get a text?
No, I just didn't know. You got to tell me when not to Google things. I thought I was looking up real information.
I thought you knew.
No, I didn't know.
Oh, my God. Amy, Mark scores.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.